Yeah, this week, I started noticing a pattern. It seemed to affect me, and I seemed to notice it at mealtime. First occasion I saw was up at Greenville, up at the hospital cafeteria. Normally, there are two ladies up there, two cashiers. I went for lunch early in the week, and there was one lady was out. And when it came my turn to pay, I asked what was going on, and the regular cashier who was up there, she was not having a good day. Said the other lady called in. Manager said that either couldn't or wouldn't put anybody there. Instead of the wailing and gnashing the teeth, there were the rolling of eyes and snapping the comments at this poor lady who was just overloaded. Overloaded. Put this into perspective. When you're in the emergency room, or you have gotten an x-ray, or you're at the doctor's office, and these people are telling you it's running a little long, please have patience with us. They're the same people that was snapping this lady up. It was just, I was just thinking, oh goodness, I wouldn't want to do your job. Because these were the same people that asked you for patience, but they sure weren't giving any. Now, the second event happened at a Cracker Barrel. Lisa and I went in, we ate. And they set us beside this party of 12 people. To say they were rude was an understatement. The interaction between them and the server and eventually the manager looked like something I saw in Shark Week the week before, between great whites and some seals. It was not going well. On top of that, they ate 90% of what they brought out. Then they complained to the manager and said they weren't paying for none of it. While they were wiping their mouths with napkins, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, okay, I see the direction you're sending me in with this. It was just really sad. It was to the point we asked the manager and the server to come over afterwards, and we told them how sorry we were that they were treated like that. Because they snapped up everything, they ate everything but silverware, and then talked about how bad it was. Then the third thing, Lisa and I didn't feel like cooking. Translate, I didn't feel like cooking. So we ordered a pizza. And when I went to pick the pizza up, I think everyone in Honeypath had ordered a pizza that night. And they were really behind. And I just stood there, I was waiting. It wasn't a big deal. Some people came in, you would have thought this lady was on the Titanic selling lifeboats because they were just mowing her down because her pizza wasn't ready where they came in. And I did a little internet research and I found some headlines. There was a man in fast food drive in Kansas City who got angry over having to wait, jumped on the person who was in the car in front of him and beat him half to death. Somebody in Fort Pierce, Florida called 911 because McDonald's ran out of chicken nuggets. On a more serious note, DeKalb County, Georgia, there was an 11-year-old that hung himself because of the rudeness and disrespect of his classmates. And it's not like it was when we were growing up and it stopped at school. Social media, it's a 24/7 thing. And this kid just could not take it. Disrespect, bullying, and blah, hypocrisy. There's a man in Massachusetts right now serving a 10-year sentence for beating another parent to death at a hockey game. A kid's hockey game. Said the victim's kids were playing too aggressive. They had words. The guy beat the other guy to death in front of his children. To quote one of my favorite wrestlers, and those of you that don't get into pro wrestling, you won't understand this, Arn Anderson, what's causing all this? To me, the spike in disrespect and the spike in violence that the mainstream media doesn't want to associate is that this has been occurring. You start seeing Bible classes and prayer being taken out of school, you're seeing the trend upwards towards all of this. There are fewer people in America than ever before that do not know Jesus. And I don't mean going to church regularly. I mean don't know Jesus. Don't know what Jesus is about. Don't know God. Their image of God is what they see on a television about some hypocritical this, that, or the other. They don't know. What they know comes from a television set. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, though, five of them are on how we deal with God. The other five are on how we deal with each other. That's the importance that God put on us to deal on how we should treat each other. Jesus spoke on how to treat each other in his first public message in Matthew. That's where our scripture comes from. And before we go any farther, I just want to clear up a couple of things. Sorry, that's a little darker than I thought it would. I'm not saying if you get a if you order a steak well done and they bring it out, you cut into it and it moves, that you shouldn't send it back. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that if you're in a relationship where you're being taken advantage of, that's not right. That's not right. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And treating someone with respect doesn't mean you let them take advantage of you repeatedly. Doesn't mean you need to stay in an abusive relationship. Some people mistake kindness for weakness. You have a responsibility for your words and actions. That other person does too. Whether they want to take responsibility for it or not, they have responsibility for it. I think that's one of the things Jesus was saying here. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. And for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard measure, it will be measured to you. I could deliver a message just on these two verses. How many people in here have ever been judged by somebody that knows hardly nothing about you? They take a look at you, size you up. I had somebody tell my aunt one time, she went down, I think it was a funeral, and met somebody from where she was, where I grew up at, and they said, he don't look like it. Talked about me. He don't look like it, but he's actually fairly smart. And thank you. But sized you up, and that was what they got. Heard a rumor about where I up at Greenville. There are some nurses and techs in a particular unit who would Facebook stalk anyone that they heard had been hired for the unit. They judge these people by their Facebook page. And that's how they form their opinion. And they have one of the highest turnover rates of any unit in the hospital. Do you think these people would want the same treatment that they're giving these folks? Probably not. Now, some people use that first book, that first verse there, as a get-out-of-jail-free card. You can't judge me. That's in the Bible. We're not judging you. God is. You're held to a standard. It's not my standard, or it shouldn't be. It's the standard of God that he lays clearly out for us. And there are 10 commandments in the Bible, too. If you're pulling this one out, you better be pulling those out, too, because God's looking at the whole thing. And I think Jesus here was talking about not talking the talk, but walking the walk, basically. And why do you look at that speck that's in your brother's eyes, but do not notice the log in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye and behold the log in your own eye? And you hypocrite, you first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly take the speck out of your brother's eyes. I've worked with some really good people through the years. I have also worked with some really lazy people through the years. Which ones do you think gave me the most advice about how to do my job? Is anyone else in that? It's not the people that you can depend on and they are as solid as a rock. Come in. I've had nurses I've worked with emergency rooms when I've been in charge. They have their set of rooms. The only thing I need to do is go check on them, make sure they're all right. I have had ones that I have needed to go in and go behind every single detail. Those are quick to offer me professional advice. And it doesn't really, that's just one field. I'm sure it's all the rest of them too, though. And this scenario can take place anywhere. There's a spirit of hypocrisy in a lot of churches. They've driven people from church and prevented a lot of non-believers from visiting. There's some holy rollers out there that can quote scripture to you all day long. They'll cheat your eyes out doing business with them. I've actually been on the receiving end of that. And it's sad. But it is where how some folks are. I had a young lady at Greenville that I had to go down to their department. I was doing some audits, and we started talking, and she started talking about Sunday school, and before long, she knew I was a pastor, and she started telling me about what happened at her church. Her father helped start this church. He owns his own business, and he tithed from his business, which meant 10% of whatever he gained from that business, he gave to that church. And his business was experiencing some hard times, so he had to cut back. The entire board of deacons at this 300-400 congregation member church went over to see this guy. And I promise you, we never gonna roll up at your door asking for what you're giving. But these folks rolled up and they started quoting scripture and just started telling him about his hard heart. And there was one problem. The fella knew the treasurer. None of the people that came to see him gave the percentage he gave. They were all hypocrites to him. None of them did what he did, yet they criticized him for having to cut back. Lord understands. He don't want you not to pay your power bill. That sent that entire church. Everyone in that church knew this man. A lot of them, in fact, none of them were related to this man. It caused drama in that church. It split that church. And thankfully, God worked in it. I spoke to the young lady later because I prayed about that church. Because that's no fun. That is no fun at all. I prayed about that church and prayed about that young lady. And I think the deacons and the pastor, they kind of realized maybe we went a little too far. And they started admitting some wrong. And some healing is starting to happen in this church, which is good. Because the devil delights in a closed church and a divided church. And I think it's pet peeve of a lot of people. You're talking about me, and you're doing the same thing or worse, or you're not doing it. I think that's just a natural pet peeve of people. And the enemy understands the power of hypocrisy and the human nature towards it. And the reaction to most forms of hypocrisy is to strike back or remove yourself from that situation. It's broken up churches, families, friends, businesses. And there's no telling how many family members and friends that don't speak today because of somebody being criticized of what somebody else is doing, the person that's criticizing them. And this verse right here, verse 6, now I had to look that one up because I had heard different meanings of it. And I started looking at some of the Bible commentaries and it made sense. Your life, your time, your energy, your gifts, they belong to God. They're the pearls that they're talking about. When we go and we do stuff like treat other people rude, we talk about people, about the things that we're doing ourselves, we're giving God's gifts to the dogs and the hogs. That's not what they're meant to be. God gives us these spiritual gifts to use for His work, His plan, not to throw out like this and cause more division, because there's plenty enough in that in the world already. Verses 7 and 8 can seem kind of out of place in this section of Scripture. What does praying have to do with respecting and treating others? Prayer is the foundation of our relationship with God. Jesus prayed over 25 prayers that are documented in the Gospels. By prayer itself, I think it was documented 600 times in the Bible. Paul, 41 documented prayers. Pray for God to work through you. Pray for those people who attack you, and that's hard. That is hard. I've had to do that. My former job, I got on a phone call with an OR manager in a hospital in Pennsylvania. I will never forget it because I was in Wilkesboro, North Carolina on another project. This lady gets on, I say about four words, and then I don't know what those four words were that affected her so badly. I think it was, "Hello, my name is," and then, vroom. And I was ready to show my redneck. And you can't really do that. And I had already started getting a pull at that point in time. And I prayed for that lady. I prayed for her, and that was very hard for me to do. It's hard when someone hurts you to pray for them. I prayed for her, and we ended up having a good project. I ended up working with a nurse that she assigned to me that we got along. I talked to her months after that project was done. And thankfully, I only saw her one other time. And when you pray, I mean true, honest prayer. Not, "Oh Lord, just let you whip." No. "I'm angry. I'm hurting. This person has ticked me off. How do I work with them? Because I don't know how. I feel like I need to, but I don't know how. Help me." Don't, and I've said this before, don't invite God into your living room. Invite him into your whole house. The closet that you only go in twice a year, the bedroom with all the piled up socks and shoes and everything, invite him into the whole house. Let him see what's there. His answers and his actions might not be what you're looking for. I know I've had times where, like with that woman, I would have been fine with a little smiting. It would have been good with me, some Babylonians, Assyrians, but evidently we don't do that much anymore. His thing was pray for her. His answer. I've had times in my life where I've kept beating on a closed door with a person I wanted things to work out, not realizing God closed it for a reason. I didn't understand that. I was praying so hard, but that door was not open for a reason. And his answer for that irritating, disrespectful coworker might be talking with him. Which, if you're like me, there have been some coworkers I'd rather potty train a cobra than talk to that person. But you discover that person, and I say it up here a lot, everybody's fighting battles. And you may discover that person is fighting a bad battle. Some of us can leave work, can leave home at home. Some of us can't. I know from experience, I've taken care of people when I was going through times in my life that everything was falling apart and I had to have a smile and it was all about their emergency. It wasn't about mine. And that's very hard to do. But that may be God's answer to you. And it may be to talk to that person. And so many times in a situation, it's like the layers of an onion. You peel it back and you see what's actually hurt them. And if you think about like a splinter that you've had left in your foot and it becomes infected and abscessed, that may be what the hurt is to these people. And God's using you to take that splinter out. And along the way, you're helping yourself too. Sometimes we get put in situations we don't understand. I've been disrespected. And I have seen people treated in a terrible way. I'm not a very physical, I don't provoke easy. I have actually been in restaurants where I've been about ready to tell someone, would you want your daughter treated the way you're treating this young woman? I have seen coworkers disrespected in such a way that it almost, I have come that close to being provoked by it. I think most of us have. Especially as we get a little older and we get children the age of some of the people that we see around, that parental instinct comes out. I've had times in my life where I feel like I've been drowning with all the responsibility and drama, and I prayed, and I felt like God came up and said, here, hold this anchor. And I was just, it felt like I sunk even deeper. And I didn't realize God was training me. He was working on something for me that the scars, the experiences I would go through would prepare me for something a lot better than I ever thought. At the time it happens, you don't realize it. I didn't. But looking back, you realize that God was there moving through it. You can see God's fingerprints in hindsight a lot more than you can in the present. Maybe that job that you had to leave, that coworker, he was just so disrespectful to you that you just, there was no talking to him. You tried. You did your best. You fought the good fight. A new job came open. And there were people that actually respected you. They wanted you, and they want you to succeed. That person you were in a relationship with, it only got worse and worse, and you just took it till you couldn't take it anymore. And you endured all that pain and couldn't understand why. Then you meet that person in your life that completes you, and you realize you endured that storm to prepare you for the person that you really did deserve. That person that you will spend the rest of your life with. There's a reason why we go through what we go through. I don't have all the answers, and I won't. None of us will. In this life, none of us will ever have the answers to God, to why things happen. And God's answers to your prayer for dealing with others, it may not be what we want them to be. There have been times in my life I've had that mirror pop up at me, and I realized, okay, there's one mule's rear end in this room, and it's not them. It's actually been me. And I have cooked many things in my life. I do not like to prepare crow, but I've had to prepare it and eat it more than once. And will again in my life. Most of us have had us a couple of buffalo crow wings as time went by. I know I've had my share of them. When you pray about your relationship with others, be prepared to look in that spiritual mirror, because you're going to see it. If you give an honest prayer, you're going to see that it may not be what you're looking for. And God, in his human form, sums up so much of the scripture in this statement. It's simple and it's powerful. And just think about how this world would be if we just followed this one command from Jesus. This one command. How many churches would need extra seats for all the new people? How boring would the news be? We'll see that in the next world. We will. Again, these two statements, it may look like Jesus is talking about something different. I don't think so. I think he's saying it's very easy to attack people, put them down, to be a hypocrite, to make yourself feel like you're more important than someone else. That's not what God intended for us. If you look at creation, look at the bees, look at the plants, look at the way everything's set up. There's the amount of interdependence. We depend on each other. We need to interact with each other. That's the way God intended for it to be. It's not intended for one to be better than the other. One person to be better than the other. But it's so easy sometimes to take out our frustrations or feel like you're better than that person at the restaurant counter, that person mopping the floor. I'm going to tell you something. I've been that person mopping the floor. I mopped floors. I scrubbed toilets at the hospital in Greenwood. There was one doctor on staff, that entire medical staff, that spoke to me like I was a person. I remember him to this day. It is no fun when you put your pants on one leg at a time and you have somebody looking to you like you are trash. And they never stopped to ask or realize I was going to school during the day. All they saw was some skinny kid. Don't see that anymore. But some skinny kid with long hair, they thought was just PWT, poor white trash. Now, I'm still that kid from wearing shoals. Well, not a kid anymore, but same guy. It's easy to run people down, to make yourself feel better, to lash out. And I think Jesus is saying it's very easy to have that one way ticket to destruction. Very easy to have that. And the life of a believer, it's not easy. It's narrow. And it's hard to treat people sometimes like you want to be treated. Doesn't mean you have to be taken advantage of, but it does mean treating others, that when you treat others like you want to be treated, you're following the commandment of Jesus. Now, I'm going to get everybody to stand, and as we go to prayer, maybe there's that person. I want to get everybody to stand, please. And then as we go to prayer, there may be that person right now that is hurting you at work, at home, and you're at your wits' end with them. What you want to do is throat punch them, but you got to get right before you do that. Pray that God will work in them and in you. That God will use you to open the door of their heart. That God will improve this situation. There may be a family member that you're trying to reach out to. And maybe they're one of the, you can't judge me crowd. Pray that God will open up their hearts too. There's a lot of people out there. So much of it comes back to our pride, the way we handle stress. And it's, we treat each other better. We'll see less of this stuff on the news. It just comes down to that. And we're following the commandment of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we see examples every day of people mistreating other people. There are some people that you cannot get along with. Paul says that in Romans 12. But he also says, as far as you can, treat other people well. Father, all of us have these people in our lives that irritate us, that they may try and pick on us, that for whatever reason, Father, maybe they're jealous of the abilities of this other person. Maybe they're insecure for whatever reason. Father, we just pray that you open up their hearts. Help them to release this pent-up anger, this pent-up frustrations. And Father, we just ask for an improvement of the relationships of everybody in this room, everybody that's on the road. And Father, we just ask that you work through us every day, Lord, from the smallest to the largest things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the altars are open. Please pray. Come up and pray. Pray from your chairs.